I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets podcast. My name is Todd. I'm here with my friends Burke and Rivka, and this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How are you today, Burke?
I am enjoying a wonderful Sabbath. They are always much shorter than I wish they were, but happy to be getting together to talk about some conference today.
Excellent. So glad that we can be together on a Sunday. Usually it's not a Sunday for us, so it's kind of a nice change. And Rivka, how are you? Are you alive? Did you recover anymore?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Recovering. I think I still have a little bit of a funny voice, but I feel much better.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thank you.
It can be a bugger, those viral illnesses.
They can linger.
So
yeah.
I hope by next week you're 100%.
Thanks. Me too.
I know you know your funny voice. I know you like to go around yelling things, so you need your full strength for that. So
I am a yeller. Am I?
You are.
Oh no.
You are not a yeller at all.
Not a yeller.
But I can be enthusiastic about things, so.
Indeed. Which is different. Well, one of the young men in my ward today, during Fast Sunday, he said he was listening to the Words of the Prophets podcast. And then he proceeded to say that the first few minutes were not very useful. So in honor of that young man who happens to be sitting upstairs at my house right now, hanging out with my son, we're going to jump straight in to the talk today.
Let's do it.
The talk is Conversion is Our Goal by Mark L. Pace, the Sunday School General President. And as you might expect from the Sunday School General President, he talked about Sunday school stuff. And specifically, come follow me. I really enjoyed this talk. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
I marked a whole chunk of fundamental doctrines, plural. So he starts out by quoting from the manual, I believe, the introduction to Come Follow Me. He says, the kind of gospel learning that strengthens our faith and leads to the miracle of conversion doesn't happen all at once. It extends beyond a classroom into our hearts and homes. It requires consistent daily efforts to understand and live the gospel. Gospel learning that leads to true conversion requires the influence of the Holy Ghost. And I just like that this is kind of all wrapped up in a ball of why we have to study the gospel and what a difference it can make in our lives.
Yeah, fantastic. What are your thoughts about quoting from the Come Follow Me manual right out of the gate?
Well, it makes sense, right? He said, so we should all be studying Come Follow Me, and here's what it says.
I know.
So
I love it.
It's great.
I've always loved that quote at the beginning of the manual, and I feel like the manuals that we have currently appear to me, and I don't know the process. Honestly, I don't know who oversees it other than, you know, that the brethren are involved. But they seem to be so well written, like just the phrasing and the thoughtfulness of it. You know, this is teaching a great truth here, and I really liked it. So
yeah,
it's fantastic.
Clear and concise.
Yes, just like your summation after my long-winded, winding, not very well thought out explanation. Clear and concise. That's what I like about it. It's clear and concise. Plain and precious. Well, Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Toward the end of the talk, he says, when we study the scriptures, there is no spiritual famine in the land. So that's my fundamental doctrine and one of my favorite lines from this whole talk.
I almost marked that because I loved it so much. But tell me why it stood out to you.
I think because it's something that I know to be true and has been a consistent pattern in my life, that when I am regularly and intentionally studying the scriptures, there's no spiritual famine. But when that is neglected, when I've neglected it, or it has become not a regular part of what I do, then I do feel, I don't know, spiritual hunger pains or weakness that comes from that.
Yeah. I feel like he's stating, as with so many of the insights that I've gleaned from conferences, he's stating something we already know, but just in a new way. He's almost stating the inverse of, you know, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be fed, or, you know, feast upon the word of the Lord, or, you know, all those sorts of things. You can't live by daily bread alone. So he's taking all of those and just stating it in a different way. But for some reason, that just makes it really so powerful. And partly because, as you said, it speaks to your experience. So that's pretty cool.
And it's the whole driving purpose behind the Come Follow Me program is to have studying the scriptures happening in every home and in every family so that we can collectively avoid a spiritual famine in the land.
Indeed. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I think collectively, I'm going to go back down to the individual here with my fundamental doctrine, which comes right after Burke's quote that he read. And I'm just going to edit that paragraph a little bit and then tie it into the main header. So he said, "That is the miracle we seek when one person has an experience in the scriptures, and that experience is blessed by the influence of the Holy Ghost." And then the last two lines, "Long-lasting conversion is a lifelong process. Conversion is our goal." So just that focus on, you know, we had President Nelson telling us to seek and expect miracles to increase our spiritual momentum. And we don't have to part the Red Sea. We have to have one person having that's me, that's you, that's each of us, have an experience in the scriptures and be blessed by the influence of the Holy Ghost. If you do that enough times, we get long-lasting conversion. And I'm just going to tie that into the main header here, which says there's no substitute for the time you spend in the scriptures hearing the Holy Ghost speak directly to you, which of course comes from the talk and is in the very next paragraph. So just going to throw out there, is he taking a subtle veiled shot at people like us who do these podcasts? Or, you know, should people be listening to these podcasts, or is that taking away from their time in the scriptures? What do you guys think?
I just had a conversation with a friend of mine the other night, and she had stumbled on this podcast. She didn't know we'd done it, and she was prepping for a Relief Society class and ran across and was like, "Burke and Rivka, what are the odds that could be something else, you know, like, other than my friends?" But because we were talking about it because we were talking about our personal studies and the way that we go about doing it and how we both like to go into the stuff ourselves, whether it's a conference talk or scriptures or things like that. And we go into it and read through it and have our thoughts and our ideas, and then how we're grateful that there are other things that then can help expand and add into it. So I think as long as it's kept in the proper order, I mean, it's a great thing. I listen to other podcasts or YouTube things that help me with my study, and I'm really grateful for them because then it's more than just my own thoughts. But if we're using them as a replacement for our own thoughts, then we'll never get, or our own experiences with the scriptures or with the words of the prophets, then we won't ever get as much, because the time we spend ourselves, and that is the time that the Spirit can really give us the personal revelation we need. Those are my thoughts.
Great. So if we're doing supplementary materials as our primary scripture study, that gets away from the purpose. But if we're adding them in addition to our own time in the material and with the Spirit, then it can help and expand our perspective.
Sure. I mean, the Come Follow Me manual itself is a supplementary material that's provided by the church, but it's, we're not supposed to just read the manual. It's to help us in our own personal study. So, yeah.
Indeed. You mean I'm supposed to be reading the scriptures that the manual points out, not just to read the manual? Yeah. I've been doing this wrong for 3.5 years.
Uh-oh.
I don't believe you not have really. Been.
No, that's not true at all. Burke, what do you think?
I would wholeheartedly agree with what Rivka said. I don't have a great deal to add to that. I use the supplements that are helpful to you, but start off with familiarizing yourself and really getting into the scriptures. You have to. There's no way around it.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of our, a lot of the way the Lord works is through other people. And I often feel direct inspiration and how something will apply to my life, but oftentimes something else that somebody says expands my viewpoint and helps me to understand something in a new and better way. And I find that very helpful. So I always try to read the scriptures that are in the Come Follow Me each week. And then I love getting some, you know, an expansive view from somebody else. So one of my favorite resources for this year's Old Testament, Come Follow Me, is the Jewish Study Bible. And it was put out in 2003, I think is the version I have, by some Jewish scholars and they're in the Jewish, in the Old Testament, which is, you know, their Bible, and in the language of Hebrew. So I've found oftentimes as I've compared that language to the King James Version, in the King James, I'm like, what is going on? I have no idea. And then in the Jewish Study Bible, it's not written in modern English, but it's just sort of a clarified, still biblical sounding English, but not quite King James either. And it's so much easier to read. So I sort of combine that with the King James, and I love the poetic beauty of King James. But then when I read in the Jewish Study Bible, it often adds clarity. So, you know, that's a sub, and it has a commentary from their perspective, which of course is not a Christian perspective, but still interesting. So that's one of my favorite supplementary materials, but I try not to let that replace just immersing myself in the scriptures. So awesome. Well, when I read that as the first line, the main header, I thought, well, I think we should probably just talk about the fact that we're a supplementary material. Yes. Here. So great. Well, Burke, you had all sorts of fundamental doctrines. Let's go to the next one. What else stood out to you?
Well, the other, so I marked pretty much the first like four paragraphs as fundamental doctrine. And we pretty much talked about all of that, no substitute. But the other thing that popped in my mind, not to belabor it too much, is this quote that I know I've brought up before, but it's from Elder Scott in October 2014, I think.
It was going to be him, Maxwell, or Nelson. Those were the three choices that you were going to share with us.
Yeah, October 2014. And he says, "Don't yield to Satan's lie that you don't have time to study the scriptures. Choose to take time to study them. Feasting on the word of God each day is more important than sleep, school, work, television shows, video games, or social media." So if you had a question on where I stand about studying the scriptures, yes, absolutely, you need to do that. And you need to get in there and do it first. And then, as we've said, use the materials that go along with it. And it's interesting. So then he says, so this is what we need to do, and you need to feel the Holy Ghost. And then he says, what is the Holy Ghost teaching me? Because that is the question that he focuses on. And he says this, "Now, how do I know when the Holy Ghost is teaching me? Well, it usually happens in small and simple ways. Sometimes a passage of scripture will seem to jump off the page to my attention. At other times, I feel like my mind is enlightened with a broader understanding of a gospel principle. I also feel the influence of the Holy Ghost when my wife, Anne Marie, and I talk about what we are reading. Her perspectives always invite the Spirit." And I like that there's multiple different ways here that he says, you know, because it's not always the same. We don't always learn things in the same way. Different days, different experiences. But he does include that discussion is one of the ways in which he learns. So I like that as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. I remember watching Elder Scott in that talk give that quote. And, you know, you remember how he had that way of staring right into the camera?
Yes.
So that it felt like he was looking right at your soul.
Yeah, he actually used an earpiece and had someone say the words to him so he wouldn't have to read the teleprompter.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I had a really good set of headphones one time I was listening to conference in, and I could hear the person telling him the words just a little bit before he said them.
No way. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No.
This is blowing my mind, Burke. What?
What's looking into our souls?
Wow. I thought I was like, well, how come it looks like he's looking right at me and it's not that way for everyone else? Yeah,
and I feel like I've been told that. So when I could, the time it happened and I could hear the person who was telling him, because the microphone had picked it up, I thought, oh, I'd heard that he used an audio prompt as opposed to a visual prompt so that he could look directly into the camera.
Wow.
And not be reading it. So.
Okay. Well, maybe Elder Ballard has been using that too, because he was talking about his vision, you know?
Oh, maybe so.
Well, I remember him staring into my soul and saying it's more important than sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, more important than sleep? Are you sure? Like, yeah. Did you pray about this before you said it?
I remember thinking the same thing. All the other stuff, absolutely. But more important than sleep? Okay.
Yeah. And I've told a story a few times in my ward of my stepsister when we were younger. We were on a cross-country trip. This is back in the 80s. And we had cash from an ATM. And that was how we were getting across the country. We stopped in New Mexico for my dad to take a nap. He was the only adult on the trip with six kids. And while he was sleeping, my stepsister, who was pretty young, took all the cash from the cash, you know, storage place and hid it because she wanted it for herself. Of course, she thought, well, I want this money. She didn't really get the value of it. She didn't really understand that we wouldn't be able to finish the trip. And nobody could get it out of her where that money was that she hid. And finally, my older sister, who was in her teens, was very smart. She whipped out a crisp $1 bill and said, hey, I will trade you this money for that money. And so my younger stepsister pulled out the money. It was $600 that she traded for $1. And I thought, wow. She just traded down, but to her, that $1 seemed so valuable. So how many times do we trade something worth less than that $600, which is the scriptures? So we're trading a $1 Netflix for $600 scriptures, or in my mind, $599 sleep for $600 scriptures. So they're very close in value, but still the scriptures are worth more. So.
Well, and for me, what that meant was I had to make sure I prioritized my scripture study earlier in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
And when it came down to it and I internalized that, I didn't actually give up sleep for scriptures. Yeah. I got rid of something else.
Yep.
That allowed me to still get sleep and scriptures because the $1 of Netflix or video games was the thing that needed to go, not this $599 of sleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Well, thank you for sharing that quote from Elder Scott and for blowing my mind on the earpiece. I'm gonna go back and watch some of his talks now. And let's go over to Rivka now. So Rivka, what else stood out to you from this talk?
I really appreciated the fact that he gives us his own personal example when he asks us to do something in this talk. So he says, each week when I open my Come Follow Me manual, I write this question at the top of the page. What is the Holy Ghost teaching me this week as I read these chapters? And then he gives us some encouragement to try that. And then he's like, this week, this is what we studied. And then he shares, so what did the Holy Ghost teach me in these chapters this week? And then he shared some different things that the Holy Ghost taught him. And I just thought that was such a simple, beautiful way of being an example and showing an example of something that he was asking us to do. You know, he's like, here's the thing to do. Here's what it looked like for me this week. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed his thoughts about what he learned from the story of Moses, because at that point it was Exodus chapter 7 through 13 that he had read. And one of the things that he shared, he said, The scriptures say, and the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. There is something very powerful in that simple statement of obedience. So this is almost kind of a layered thing where he's like, he's like, this week I asked what the Spirit wanted to teach me. And one of the things the Spirit taught me was that there's something powerful in the children of Israel obeying the Lord's commandments that were given through a prophet, as he's obeying a commandment that's given through a prophet and then asking us to do the same. Just like, I liked everything about that whole middle part of the talk because of that example he shared.
Yeah, that was really cool to just have a straightforward, simple example of this is what I do. So he told us at the beginning, you should read the scriptures, use your manual, do the come follow me. And then this is how I do it. And this is what I learned from it.
Yeah, this is what you know, me this week in real time.
Yeah.
It's cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Totally cool. And not anything, it was, to coin a phrase, it was manageable grandeur, right? It was like, here's this great thing. It helped my conversion, but it wasn't a great, grand, wonderful, earth-shattering revelation, right? It was like, follow the prophet, you know?
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to give a whole bunch of other testimonials, examples mm-hmm. of people, not the same situation where they described how they did it and what they learned from it, but just the impact it had had on their life. Mm-hmm. I want you to know I clicked on every single one of the of the footnotes to see, like, okay, was this published in the Ensign? Was this something they were?
Yeah,
all personal correspondence, which I thought was awesome. He's like, here's a whole bunch of real people in the church who shared their thoughts with me. So he gave a bunch of them. Did any of them stand out to y'all as something, you know, that really was impactful to you?
So the one that stood out to me, seems kind of unimpressive, I guess, at first reading, but, he says a sister shared, quote, my daily experiences with Come Follow Me are rarely noteworthy, but over time I can see how I am being changed by such a constant focused study of the scriptures. That kind of study humbles me, teaches me, and changes me a little at a time, unquote. And I would have to say this has been my experience with the gospel most of the time, and especially with Come Follow Me, because I'm reading or I'm listening to the scriptures as I drive in the morning. That's the way that I get most of it. And then obviously I study as well for lessons that I have to teach. And I mean, I have great experiences. Usually when I'm teaching is when sort of the more sudden realizations come or someone in the class will say something. But for the most part, my study doesn't seem earth-shattering while I'm doing it. But over time, I agree. It changes me.
Absolutely, 100%. I feel the same way, and that one stood out to me too, Burke. And I used to try to take notes and keep notebooks and that sort of thing and journals, and I still think that's a good thing to do. I was finding that I was never going back to studying that. And it was like something would seem so impactful in the moment, and then I would have to like review it over and over and over to just try to bring that back. So instead, I go for the volume or immersion principle. So I'm just like constantly either reading it or listening to podcasts or some other way consuming it so that I'm just surrounded by scriptures or scripture-like things all the time.
Yeah,
and that's like, just, it's like being on a mission and learning a language. You know, half the time for my first 4 months, I didn't understand what people were saying, but just being there helped me learn the language. And then all of a sudden I looked back one day and went, oh, I guess I speak Portuguese now, you know?
Yeah.
And the scriptures that same way, like I just look back all of a sudden, I go, oh, I guess I love the scriptures and I really know a lot more about the Old Testament than I used to. And it's just hard to pinpoint one moment. So just that, you know, manageable grandeur. I love it.
Well, then I'll get a question like, wow, how do you know the scriptures so well? And I'm just the same as you, daily study for, you know, the last 30 some odd years. I have another answer other than that. Yeah. It didn't seem impactful at the time.
That's like to throw in a movie reference to honor Aaliyah here, although I don't think she's seen this movie. There's a funny movie with Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And of course, The Rock is just a massive human being. And in the movie, he was like an overweight teenager who decided to really get in shape. And Kevin Hart's character seeing him for the first time after 20 years. And he's like, oh, you look great. What's your secret? He's like, oh, it's nothing. He goes, no, tell me, like, there's got to be some trick, right? He's like, well, I worked out 6 hours a day for 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
I guess that's the secret. So, Rivka, what did you think about these examples? Any of them stand out to you?
All of them in one way or another. Reading through this was this week was pretty powerful and profound for me. Because one of the things he's trying to help us understand is back here where he says there's no substitute for the time you spend in the scriptures. And it's these illustrations all together are really powerful to me because there are so many different types of people that he lists: mother of a young family, a senior brother, a young wife, mother of a large family, young husband, a sister, a returned missionary, a brother, a 7-year-old child. And each of them in their way is, I think, attempting to explain what it is to have experiences with the Spirit and what they get from it. And so their comments are just so instructive, you know, that gospel conversations in the home, a conduit filled with divine light, to know my husband's heart and to open my heart. One of them said, while my music still isn't perfect, I hear the difference. And she's talking about the music of the gospel in the home. My home is a sanctuary where God comes first. The Holy Ghost comes into my heart. I feel God's revelatory guidance, truly enriching sessions of getting to know God, changes in my home from concern to power and contention to love and peace. And then one of them just said, I can see how I am being changed. And for me, that was just like, it's so beautiful to read all of these different accounts. I'm so glad that he shared them. Because I think for me, that one is the crux where it's just, I can see how I'm being changed by a constant focused study. You know, I'm being changed. And that is why our Heavenly Father wants us to have individual time in the scriptures where it's just us and Him through His Spirit, because that is how we are changed over time in a number of different ways. We might explain the change as something that is relevant to our life or our situation, but all of us can have that change that we need and the improvement and strengthening that we need individually. But we only get it if we individually spend time in the scriptures with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and you said change a bunch in there. I'm going to tie it back to what he said, which is conversion is our goal. So that change is just the ongoing conversion. And in my experience, so he sort of ends this where he began, saying it is the miracle of one person having an experience in the scriptures and that experience being blessed by the influence of the Holy Ghost, which is, you know, what he said back at the top. And one reason I think that that's a miracle is because in my experience, the atonement is mediated through the Holy Ghost. And we can't be changed by the atonement unless we are exposed to the Spirit. And that conversion comes through continual access to the atonement, which is mediated by feeling and having spiritual experiences, which comes in part from diving into the scriptures on a daily basis, little by little. So conversion is our goal. Well, let's go to our promises and our invitations. I think, of course, there's one giant invitation: read your scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah, be involved and come follow me study. Yeah.
Yes. Study your scriptures. Like, it's phrased in so many ways in here. Any other individual invitations stick out to you, Burke? Or if not, what promises did he give us?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go straight to the promises, because I read through it and I was like, I don't think there's any invitations. And I even did searches for the usual invitation keywords and I didn't find any of them. So obviously he's asking us to study scriptures, but blessings or promises, he says, when we study the scriptures, there's no spiritual famine in land, which Rivka already read earlier. And then one I liked later was, today, as we follow the Lord's direction given through our living prophet, President Nelson, we are equally blessed with conversion in our hearts and protection in our homes. And I just like that he brought that right there at the end, that in addition to the conversion that we've talked about the whole time, also protection, which in our day we need.
We absolutely need. And I didn't go back and search other talks, but I just feel like we heard that promise more than once in other talks this conference. Why do you think protection is sort of an underlying theme here?
I think just because generally speaking, I can't speak for everyone, but I personally feel like the world is spiritually, especially, more dangerous than it has been at any time in my life. And maybe that's just because I'm more aware of it now, but I feel like the pressure is constant, and you know, you can't stop influences from entering into your home anymore. You can try really hard to combat them from the inside, which I think this helps to do, but there's so much easy access to information that, you know, as family members, we have to all have our own personal testimony and personal armor to combat that. And so I like that this protection is part of that.
Yeah. Fantastic. Putting on the whole armor of God every day. Rivka, anything to add with invitations, promises, or any other themes from the talk?
Well, there's the invitation that he gives. It's really from President Nelson. He repeats one. When President Nelson initially invited us to participate and come follow me, and the invitation set was to transform our homes into sanctuaries of faith and centers of gospel learning. And he promises 4 specific blessings. 1, your Sabbath days will be a delight. 2, your children will be excited to learn and live the Savior's teachings. 3, the influence of the adversary in your life and in your home will decrease. And 4, these changes in your family will be dramatic and sustaining. That's powerful. And those are promises coming from our prophet, which means those are promises coming from Jesus Christ. And they are available to all of us if we will try to do this. I think it's incredible, because sometimes it feels hard to fit things in our days, but I think anyone's home would be blessed by having even one of these promises fulfilled in their home. So it's a worthwhile effort, and it becomes easier as you practice it because of that change and conversion that happens to, prioritizing these things. Like as our spirits change and learn to love this, it becomes easier to do.
Yeah, fantastic, Rivka. And that promises and that invitation and those promises are now multiple years old. Have you seen any of those promises come to pass in your life, in your family's life?
I've seen all of them in one way or another. Yeah. Our Sabbath days have been added to by an extended family quick come follow me discussion we have every Sunday over Zoom. And I have seen my children's enthusiasm and desire to do this come follow me study increase. And because of that, the influence of the adversary it has been helpful to temper that, because as a family, our love of the gospel is increasing. And so our desire for things that would invite wickedness is decreasing. And that feels dramatic to me. And it so far has been sustaining. So that's all 4 of them. This works. That's what I can say. This works.
I love it. Thank you. And does that mean you get a Zoom scripture lesson from the world famous Professor Satterfield every week?
Other side of the family. It's the O'Neills.
Oh, okay. I'm sure the O'Neills are great too, but I was going to say I want to Zoom bomb that.
Well, we felt great, but now, now it feels wanting.
So. No.
Well, to close where we began, that young man said that as he was listening to the not very helpful intro, his internet went out for some reason. And so he didn't actually get to the part of the podcast where he talked about the talk. And so he went and read the talk himself.
Oh, good.
And I thought,
even better.
Well, that's how it should be anyways.
Yeah.
So I was pleased with that outcome. So
maybe the intro was helpful. He just didn't realize it.
Exactly. There you go. So everyone who is listening, I invite you to go read the talks for yourself. If you haven't, you can start with this one. It's a fantastic one. And then also read the Come Follow Me every week. You will be blessed, as President Nelson said, and as Rivka just so beautifully testified, and as Burke talked about with conversion and protection. So, well, that's it for this talk. The next talk we are going to discuss is In Awe of Christ and His Gospel by Elder Ulysses Suarez of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. I'm very much looking forward to that one. It was fantastic. In the meantime, you can catch us on social media at Words of the Prophets Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for conference greatest hits, send them our way, because we're soon going to be done with this general conference and moving on to those. So thanks for joining us today, and until next time, keep the faith.
Hola a todos, this is Hermana Ebert, and here are my thoughts on the talk, Conversion is Our Goal by Elder Pace. So I studied this talk in Spanish, so every time I quote him, I'm just translating from Spanish and it might not be accurate. But, anyways, I really, really like this talk. It starts by talking about Come Follow Me, and it quotes it roughly, saying, "The purpose of all teaching and learning in the gospel is to deepen our conversion to our Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ." And I think that's really cool. Something that I've noticed a lot, especially with the Old Testament Come Follow Me, is that they really, really make an effort to focus on Jesus Christ. Because I think it's maybe a little easier to focus on Christ when you're studying the New Testament and, like, you're literally studying his life, or the Book of Mormon, which talks in, like, every page about Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament's a little more difficult because it's, like, it's more stories about people, and it's, like, somewhat indirectly related to Jesus Christ. You, like, have to look a little deeper. But yeah, so I have loved this Come Follow Me with the Old Testament. Maybe it's just because maybe it's recency bias, but I think it might be my favorite one that we've done. It's probably because I've also learned the most, because I'd never read the Old Testament before. That's okay. But yeah, so as far as conversion to Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father go, Come Follow Me does a really good job at that if we put in the work. And so he says, oh boy. I think it says to be more efficient, effective, that's that word. To be more effective, your experiences with the scriptures should be your own experiences. So I can think of a lot of times on my mission, especially, where I've had really profound experiences with the scriptures, and they've all been very much my own. Like, rarely was it someone teaching me what they learned, although I do get a lot out of that. It was, like, none of the experiences I'm thinking of came from studying something in Sunday school or whatever. It all came from me, just studying the scriptures in my own way, if that makes sense. So, like, a couple of them involve music that I really love, not everyone gets revelation through music while reading the scriptures, but I do. Or, like, a question that I had specifically, like, a question from me. It wasn't a question that someone else wanted answered. And then just, like, the way that I highlight the Book of Mormon or any scripture, I guess, or, like, write in the margins or all of those things, like, those are all my personal experiences, and those are the ones that have deepened my conversion the most. So, anyways, very cool. There's a part of Preach My Gospel that talks about marking scriptures and studying. And it says that not all religions believe or, like, view scriptures the same way, so maybe marking the scriptures is something that's, like, a little not great for them. But I think it's really cool that we show our value and appreciation for the words of God by, like, physically marking them up. I think that's really interesting that, like, that's how we study. Because that's how you study, like, a textbook or whatever, is you take notes. And you, like, highlight or underline, or you make flashcards or whatever. Like, you physically do stuff. You don't just read it and, like, hope that you remember it. And so, yeah, I think that's really cool that there's a focus on that. Okay. There's another... thing that he quotes, and it's longer, so bear with me as I try and translate this into English from Spanish. How do I know if this the Holy Ghost is teaching me? This almost always occurs in small and simple ways. Sometimes it may seem, or it would seem, that a passage of the scriptures captures my attention. In other occasions, I feel that my mind is illuminated with a comprehension greater comprehension than a principle of the gospel. So there's a really cool section of Preach My Gospel, chapter 4. Shout out to Preach My Gospel, you should read it. That talks about this, and it mentioned those exact things about capturing your attention and like illuminating your understanding and stuff. And it lists a lot of other ways that the Spirit speaks to us. And so I would, if you're looking to deepen your conversion and like have the Spirit with you or recognize the Spirit when you're studying, go to chapter 4 of Preach My Gospel, How Do I Recognize the Spirit? And there's a table that has a list of all of these things that he's, some of which he just talked about. But yes, so it's very good. And then he's talking about kind of what he learned for himself in this Come Follow Me. And at the time of conference, we had just gotten to the story of Moses, I believe, or we had passed it. And so he's talking about how he learned that, like, God works through a prophet, and that faith and humility precedes miracles, and stuff like that. And so he shares, like, a personal experience of what he learned from that study. And I'm sure he learned more, even more individual things as well. But, yeah, I think it is really cool that the whole point of study and learning and teaching is to deepen our conversion to Jesus Christ, because the more faith we have in him, the more he can help us grow and become like him. And then we will be able to live with him and Heavenly Father, with our families forever in the celestial kingdom, with all that the Father hath. So I think it's really cool that we're not just here to, I don't know, like, it's, we're not learning so that we can just have a bunch of knowledge and say that I've read the Book of Mormon 30 times. And like, okay, but have you changed as a person? Probably. If you, like, if you're doing it right, you've probably changed as a person because you've read it 30 times. So it's, and that's, like, right at the beginning of Come Follow Me, like, he quoted that part of the manual that's, like, right at the very beginning, that conversion is our goal. So, very, very cool. Studying the scriptures is super awesome. So, do something to up your study game, because it'll literally change not just your life, but you. So, very good talk. And until next time, guarde la fe.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.